So this message obviously is called The Hard Way. So I'm going to start off with some questions. Remember that time when you thought the pan had cooled down enough to touch it? Remember that time you thought you had plenty of time to make that important meeting or that really important event? Remember the time when you thought you could get by with a little less prep work for that big project or that presentation? Remember that time you did a little less training, a little less stretching, a little less warming up before you jumped into that workout to exercise? What about that time you didn't think it was that big of a deal to follow the cake recipe exactly? What about the time you didn't bother to check the propane tank before you started to grill for all your family and friends at your house? Now, maybe you don't have stories like that where you learned something the hard way, but most people do. There's a reason learn the hard way and school of hard knocks is a very common saying. Most everyone has at least one story about something they wish they hadn't had to learn the hard way. From something simple like thinking you could drive your car for a few more hours with the gas light on, to forgetting to check your pants zipper before coming up on the stage. We all wish we could do things the easy way. We all wish we could learn the easy way. But the truth is, embrace yourself now, we are called to learn the hard way. We are called to learn the big life lessons, the big faith lessons, and we are called to grow in Christ the hard way. In our lives of faith, we are to choose the harder way. So let me read a quote from the very respected Christian pastor of old, A.W. Tozer. Here's what he said. Though the cross of Christ has been beautified and made to look not so bad by the poet or the artist, the true seekers of God are likely to find the cross that same savage implement of destruction that it was in the days of old. The way of the cross is still the pain-racked path to spiritual power and fruitfulness. So do not seek to hide from the hard way. Do not accept the easy way. Do not allow yourself to be padded to sleep in a comfortable church, void of power and barren of fruit. Do not paint the cross nor deck it out with flowers. Take it for what it is, as it is, and you will find the rugged way to death and life. Let the cross slay you utterly. That was Tozer. The Christian life is it's a hard road. However, in our day and age, many of us, unfortunately, we want the easy way. We want the path of least resistance. Because we tend to make our lives all about us. We're number one, and we want to make our life about our fleshly wants and our fleshly desires. And so naturally, most of us try to control everything. A lot of us are control freaks. And so we do everything based on our acceptable levels of comfort and our acceptable levels of what's normal, normalcy. And tragically, living this way is causing us problems. Isaiah 35, verse 3 says this, "Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble." Another translation I like says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees." Because the truth is, many of us have become weak. We choose the easy way. We choose the comfortable way. The way that our flesh desires. So, here's some sobering stats about weak hands and feeble knees. Over 50% of teenagers and adults watch more than 40 hours of television and movies every single week. Netflix users worldwide combined spend 100 million hours a day watching and streaming content. 100 million hours a day. This is weak hands and feeble knees. Let's talk about video games. The average video gamer plays about 14 hours a week. So in a 40-year time span, that would equal 3 years of your life playing video games. The average Fortnite player, and in case you don't know, Fortnite is currently the most popular video game in the world. The average Fortnite player is over 30 years old and spends an average of 8 hours a day playing. That's weak hands and feeble knees. Let's talk about Facebook. Almost 2 billion people log into Facebook daily. 2 billion. And as of February 2018, the average American spends 35 minutes on Facebook every single day. Let's not leave out YouTube. As of 2018, YouTube says that 300 hours of new videos are uploaded to its site every single minute. 300 hours, new videos every single minute. The video, Charlie Bit Me, just celebrated 10 years on YouTube. This video has been seen over a billion times. And now, I'm gonna force all of us to watch it as well. So this is Charlie Bit Me.
Charlie bit me.
Over 2,500 years of human life has been spent watching that video, Charlie Bit Me. Now, there is nothing wrong with most of these things when used properly. But I encourage all of us to be a little more intentional. And I'm not saying we should abandon all of these things immediately and never engage in them again. But the amount of time and the amount of energy spent on these things is hurting us. This is weak hands, and this is feeble knees. But Christ can turn things around. Christ can make us strong again, and Christ can keep us strong. So I want to go back to Isaiah 35, starting with verse 5 this time. Verses 5 through 10. Here's what it says. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah, the desert. The scorched land will become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there. Listen to this. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for them who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, not will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there. But the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's beautiful. You know, there is a proper way to live. There's a narrow way to live. There's a hard way to live. Jesus lived the hard way. And when he's in our hearts, we can live the hard way too. So let's hear the words of Jesus himself on this. Let's start off with John 15:20. Here's what Jesus says. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. This is telling us we will get persecuted. We'll get persecuted. It's guaranteed. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, we should actually be concerned if we're not getting persecuted. But may we always remember in that we are to show godly love to others in a humble way, just like Jesus showed us to do. Remember, this is persecution for righteousness' sake, not our own sin. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find that. It's not hard to go to hell, but it's a difficult road to heaven. Matthew 10:38 says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Likewise, Matthew 16:24 and 25 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross and he must follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus didn't just talk about the hard way. Jesus lived it. And likewise, we are called to show people Jesus Christ in our lives, in our words, in our actions. So, we just heard the words of Jesus. Let's look at the life of Jesus now and how this relates to the hard way. Luke 4:28 through 30 says, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things, and they got up and they drove him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city had been built in order to throw him down from the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. You gotta remember something. These were all of Jesus' former friends and neighbors. They were trying to kill him. They were constantly trying to kill him. Mark 2:16 says, when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? You know, here's the truth. We're not usually called to the upper high privileged of society. Christ calls us to keep going to the underprivileged, to keep going to the outcasts. Matthew 12:14. But the Pharisees went out and they conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. The Pharisees, these were the church pastors. The pastors were trying to destroy Jesus. Matthew 12:24 says, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Jesus was constantly getting falsely accused. Constantly. And finally, the first part of Matthew 19:3 says, some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him. You see, Jesus was constantly getting challenged. And these were not just normal, healthy questions and inquiries. This was about disrespecting him and mocking him. All the religious leaders were doing this. So again, let's look at the profile of Jesus Christ here. Jesus befriends and spends time with the culturally misfits. He goes against the established religious, cultural, and social order of the day. The religious leaders constantly plot to kill Jesus. One of Jesus' best friends betray him. Another of his best friends denies even knowing him. Again and again and again. Jesus is mocked, he's scourged, and then he's placed upon the cross. His whole lifestyle was one of living out the cross and pouring out his life. This is the way to life. And do we see how it's the hard way? You know, I was just sharing Jesus's profile with someone just this past week as I was working on this. And here's what they said regarding the life of Jesus. Well, yeah, but that was Jesus, Nick. And he wouldn't ask us, all of us, to do that. That's just too extreme. That's too much to ask. That's not fair. He was Jesus. We're just regular human beings, right? Well, first of all, yes, Jesus was fully God. But he was also fully man. And he felt and he saw, and he experienced everything. He was not spared one thing. In fact, he took it all, and by all I mean every single sin ever committed, past, present, and future, he took it into his heart, and he felt every single drop of that. Yet this hard way, it's not just reserved for our Savior. So let's look at the Apostle Paul. Paul was a lowly human being just like you and I. Here's what 2 Corinthians 11 says about Paul. Actually, this is Paul speaking here. 2 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 24. This is amazing here. He starts out, 5 times I have received from the Jews 39 lashes. We need to stop for a second here. Most people would cry out, uncle, from one lash of a whipping like this. But to receive 38 more, and then to receive that full punishment at least 4 more times in our lifetime, in a fairly short period of time. To picture Paul's back, his skin, it was completely mangled. I don't think his back could have even resembled regular human skin anymore. He goes on. He's not done. 3 times I was beaten with rods. So this was all over the body, including the bottom of the feet, so that they could not walk normal anymore for the rest of their lives. That was Paul. He says, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've spent in the deep. How in the world does anyone survive that? Quite simply, it wasn't Paul's time to go yet. And he continues, I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from the river, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Most people would be absolutely crushed by this. This is anything but easy, and this is anything but normal. But we're not called to be normal. Just like Paul, we are called to the hard way. Now, God's plan will be different, and it will look different for each one of us. It doesn't look the same for each person. Not everyone's called to what we just read. However, in whatever family of origin you find yourself in, whatever your personal situation, whatever your career is, or whatever stage of life you find yourself in, we are called to embrace hardships. And let's not forget that God presses His children to refine them and to grow them. We're not supposed to live a life of self-focus. We are not supposed to spend our entire lives in ease, especially in front of a screen of entertainment or games or social media. The motto of your best life now, that's not correct. That's not Christianity. It's not about living a long life. It's about living a full life. And the only way to live a life that's full, one that really matters, is to live a life in Christ. Without Jesus, my life stinks. And we have nothing to turn to when the unexpected comes, when we don't have Jesus. When the bottom falls out, when tragedy strikes, and it's going to strike, and it has struck many of us in this room. If you don't have Jesus, there's no hope. But rather, we are to live a life in Christ the way He showed us and the way He did it. We need to embrace that type of life. We need to bear hug that type of life. And spiritually speaking, we're not supposed to be weak or feeble. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4 speaks about this. Paul is talking to Timothy here. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to reach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Because no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, Paul is not just talking to his protege Timothy here. Paul's talking to each one of us also. He's telling us to stay focused and to live the hard way. And we must remember something. We cannot live the hard way. We can't. But he can. Christ enables us to live the hard way, and he promises us to do it. He empowers us to do it. You know, at Christmas time, it's really common to get those chocolate candies in the shape of a little toy soldier. And when we put that chocolate in our hands, or maybe we put it in our pocket for later in the wrapper, that chocolate gets soft and it begins to melt from the heat. As a soldier of Christ that all of us are called to, how do we react when pressure is applied to our lives? How do we react when heat is applied to our lives? Do we melt? The Chocolate Soldier is a story that the famous missionary C.T. Studd wrote. I love that last name. His last name is Studd. So C.T. Studd wrote this, and it puts the whole concept of the hard way in perspective. Listen to this story from C.T. Studd. Too long we have been waiting for one another to begin. The time of waiting is past. The hour of God has struck. War is declared. In God's holy name, let us arise and build. The God of heaven, he will fight for us, and we will fight for him. We will not build on the sand, but on the bedrock of the sayings of Christ, and the gates and minions of hell shall not prevail against it. Who should we fear? Before the world, before the sleepy, lukewarm, namby-pamby Christian world, we will dare to trust our God, and we will venture out all for him. We will love and we will die for him, and we will do it with his joy unspeakable singing aloud in our hearts. We will 1,000 times sooner die trusting only our God than live trusting in man. And when we come to this position in battle, the battle's already won. And the end of the glorious campaign is already in sight. We will have the real holiness of God, not the sickly stuff of talk or mere words or pretty thoughts. Instead, we want his holiness, one of daring faith and works of Jesus Christ. Let us not glide through this world and then just slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a Thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. Funds are low again? Hallelujah. That means God trusts us and is willing to leave his reputation in our hands. Difficulties, dangers, disease, death, or divisions don't deter any but chocolate soldiers from executing God's will. When someone says there's a lion in the way, here's what the real Christian replies. That's hardly enough danger for me. I want a bear or two besides to make it worthwhile to go. Here's the question that every single one of us is going to be called to answer. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? Are we going to go the easy way? Or are we going to let God walk us down the path to the hard way? What do you choose? Ease or difficulty? Because if we want a pampered Christian life, then I don't think we really want to be a Christian. Because a Christian life is full of difficulties. In the heat of battle, chocolate soldiers melt. They just melt away. But when Christ is in us, we don't melt. We're not made to melt. Let's go the hard way. Let's take the narrow way. The way that's hard. Let's go the hard way. We're called to it. Let's pray. Jesus, you live the cross every single day of your life. And Lord, the call upon our life, it's not an easy life. You never promised it would. There's hardship. Lord, there's misunderstanding. There's pain. There's loss. Lord, following you may even cost us our life one day. But Lord Jesus, if someone is called to go down the hard way, and clearly we are, your scripture screams it, then Lord, let us show others that way. Let it be us. Let it be me. Let it be everyone in this room. Let us choose hardship, Lord. But when others see that hardship, may they also see the true joy that we have in you. And may it make them scratch their heads. And may they want you more because of what they see in us. Lord, let us live that hard way. And Lord, we're not talking about a life of misery. We're talking about a life of freedom and joy in you. Let us not be afraid. Lord, take us by the hand one step at a time. And let us just release it all right at the bottom of your cross. Lord, in your precious name, we pray these things. Amen. Well, I'm really excited to be able to share some news with you. So the Lord has really been working on my heart and working with New Hope Fellowship for a couple years now since I've been on staff. And God has really been moving. He's been moving in me and growing me. And New Hope Fellowship has a really neat ministry opportunity that I want to just start off by sharing with you this morning. And we're going to be talking about this, you know, a lot for the next month. You're going to be hearing me talk about this every single Sunday. But one of the things he's really led me to and led New Hope Fellowship to is to do some ministry opportunities in some different areas. And one of the ways he's doing that is this fall, we're going to be taking some small group ministry opportunities, some men's small groups. We're going to be starting with men, and we're going to be going to Oregon, Illinois this fall. And we're going to be doing that two nights a week, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting at 6:30. The first one is going to be called Stepping Up, the Call to Courageous Manhood. I've done that series many times. I've led it, and I've developed some curriculum on that. And it's a very powerful series for men, whatever stage you find yourself in. And that's going to be on Tuesdays. And that's going to be for 10 weeks. And then on Thursdays, we're going to bring the Conquer series to Oregon, Illinois. We've done many different Conquer series here for the men. We've done one for the women. And right now we're embarking on one for the fathers and sons. And we really need to take that to another community. that doesn't have that and be able to help set men free and to just educate men, not only for themselves, but to transform families and for them to help walk alongside other people. So we'll be doing Conquer Series on Thursdays. So I guess I'm asking right now initially for two things. Number one, I'm going to address the men. I want you to take some serious prayer consideration to see if you are to be a part of that. Even if you've done these series before, especially Conquer Series, doing it again is so powerful. Most people I talk to say they got so much more out of it the second or third time. Not only to get it deeper in our souls, but to be able to walk alongside another brother in Christ and to help them in the future. So pray to see if you are to be a part of that, to attend and maybe even to help lead. I'd love to be able to talk with you on that if God's putting that on your heart. The second thing is for all of us is to be in prayer about this, to really bathe this in prayer to see what God's going to do. God is moving and we want to be able to bring freedom to other areas and to see what happens with it, to see what happens with it. I don't want to go ahead of God. We don't want to walk ahead of God and say, here are our plans. But we want God to be able to leading us one step at a time in this. So I'm very, very excited for this. So this is going to be in the bulletin next week on the email newsletter. We're going to be hitting Facebook. There's going to be advertisements all around town and in other towns to be able to get the word out on this. But just be praying for this. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming here for this sermon, and we can't wait to see you during the week or next Sunday. God bless.